following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey, there you go.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Here you go. Hey, welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Come on in. Come on in. Take a seat. I'll take care of everything. Would you like me to massage your legs? Thank you very much. Thank you. I'll tell you a very quick massage story, and then we'll get on with the show, because that's not really what the show is about. But I just had to discuss this because I, for some reason, said, can I massage your legs for no reason whatsoever? I do that sometimes. I say things that make absolutely no sense, and then you're stuck. You know, you got to pursue it. For Christmas, 2 years ago, I received a gift certificate to a massage place called Massage Envy. I don't know who named that company like that. It's a weird name for a company. Massage Envy? I envy what? And what are you talking about? I can be jealous about a lot of things, I suppose, about getting a massage. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Anyway, so it's like that. It's like that company Mattress Firm. Did you hear about that? You know, they sell mattresses, and it's called Mattress Firm. And I said to myself, okay, I get it. You're a company. You're a firm. Mattresses are firm. It's just stupid. And what if you don't like a firm mattress? What do you go, Mattress Soft? What the hell is with you people? Anyway, so I get this gift certificate to Massage Envy. Ooh. And I go in there. It's free because it was a gift. You know, who doesn't want to get a free massage? Okay. All right. A couple of you don't. So I walk in there and I say, I'm here for a free massage. I have a gift certificate. And I guess I'm supposed to be envious of you. I don't understand really your title. She said, well, hello, Mr. Van Dam. If you just walk around the corner, you can sit in our relaxation room. Oh, okay. Relaxation room. That sounds nice. So I go into this relaxation room. They're playing some relaxing music, I guess, to a dentist. Yeah. What would we do in massage places without Enya? Are you familiar with her music? I think she creates music simply for people to sit and wait to get their massage. I think that's her only purpose in life. I like her music. But it's just like, wow, Enya, you kind of like took that entire market. That's pretty cool. So I'm sitting there, and there's other people sitting in this room waiting for their massage. So I'm uncomfortable. I'm sitting in a room with like five other people sitting in chairs in a tiny room with the lights down low a little bit with Enya in the background. And this relaxation room has become quite awkward for me. It's become the awkward room. It's like, why am I sitting here with five strangers making believe I'm relaxed when, get out of here. You know, what are you doing here? I'm supposed to be relaxing. Don't just sit there and stare at the wall and listen to Enya. This is very awkward. Finally, this lady comes up to the foyer area and she says, Mr. Van Dam, will you follow me, please? I said, on Twitter? I don't understand. She says, no, just, she says, follow me down the hall. And we'll prepare for your massage. And I thought, oh, okay, fine. This is going to be fun, huh? I get a free hour massage. Ooh. My immediate thought was, I don't do anything for a whole hour. I don't. To lie on a table and get a massage for a whole hour is like boring. Do you show movies here? Do you serve cocktails? What the hell am I supposed to do for an hour while you're rubbing me? I don't get it, to be honest with you. I don't get it. An hour is a long time for everything. Everything that's an hour is a long time. So I follow her on Twitter down this hallway, and she brings me into a tiny, tiny room that gives me the same feeling as if I were having an MRI. So she says, take all your clothes off, except for your underpants if you so desire, and I'll be back in a minute, and we'll start your massage. And I thought to myself, how often in my life have I heard strangers say to me, now take all your clothes off, I'll be back in a minute. That's a luxury in itself. That was worth the gift certificate. So I take off all my clothes, but I do leave my underpants on, or as you ladies say, my panties. And there's this sheet on this very awkward-looking platform bed kind of thing. I don't know what that thing is. It's a massage table is what they call it, but I wasn't familiar with it. And I'm lying there, and I'm covered up with a sheet, and I'm figuring, she'll be back in the room. Is she going to be wearing a negligee? Is that what's going to happen here? Because I'm, like, practically totally naked. I'm going to feel very awkward if you're not. So the door opens, she comes walking in, she's fully dressed just like she was before, and immediately, this is not fun for me. Immediately, something's not even here, you know? If I take my clothes off, why are you still dressed? I'd at least take something off. My God, something. So she comes walking in and she says, you have to lie face down on the table. And I thought, all right, what do I do with my head here? She says, well, stick your head in that little hole over there at the end of the table. We want your face to be in that little head holder. I said, oh my God, here we go. Here we go with the uncomfortable feeling. So I stick my head into this hole, and I'm, for the next hour, I'm staring at the nap of the carpet. I guess that's a relaxing feeling. Ron, I want you to relax. Stare at the nap of the carpet for an hour. Oh, well, I didn't know it was going to be that relaxing. Then she peels the sheet back down to my ass crack, and she starts massaging me, and Enya, of course, is in the background. She always is, and she says, "Now, Ron, am I pressing too hard? Is it uncomfortable? Am I hurting you?" And I said, "No, you're not hurting me." She says, "Is this the right pressure?" I said, yeah, you're putting a lot of pressure on me here. It's good. She says, would you like the Swedish massage, the muscle massage, the deep throat massage, the Corsican flatulent massage? I said, look, first of all, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I got a gift certificate. I walk in here. You tell me to take my clothes off and stick my head in a cushioned hole. I don't know what the hell's going on, so just do what you do. And by the way, could you take some of your clothes off too? So anyway, so she starts massaging me. And you know what? It feels good, but it also doesn't. I'm also like second guessing, like she's massaging my shoulders. And then I'm thinking, all right, what's next? Is it going to be the back of the neck? Let's see what happens. I'm second guessing her moves. And then we come to the part of the program where a man has a little bit of a concern. And that's when the massage lady says, and by the way, I refuse to be massaged by a man. Now, I'm not talking about anything other than the fact that I am uncomfortable with a man touching me. That's just me. Whatever. I would prefer, if I had a choice, who would you rather have touch you, Ron, when you are practically totally naked? Would it be a man or a woman? Let's see. I don't know. Well, I'm heterosexual, so I'm going to guess a woman. Is that right? Is that the right answer? So she says to me, she says, okay, now flip around and lie on your back, and I'm going to massage your front. And I thought, okay, but now I'm and I have no reason to be concerned about this, but I'm wondering, am I going to get excited here in any way, shape, or form? Because now my Johnson, my little weed whacker, is possibly going to play some flagpole impressions, and that could be embarrassing. Should I be embarrassed that it would be exciting and it little Johnny takes off into space? Not really, but I will be. So now I'm thinking baseball through the whole time that I'm on my back. I'm thinking of things that are not sexually exciting whatsoever. There's a lot to choose from. Baseball at the top of the list. To me, there is nothing sexy about baseball whatsoever. All I have to do is picture a bunch of fat men dressed in their pajamas, scratching their crotch in an open green field. That's enough to bring anybody down sexually. As a matter of fact, I don't know how baseball players even have sex with anybody because they're just so unsexy. It's just, you're a fat baseball player. Like, what am I supposed to do with that? Listen to sports announcers talk about their families and about their cars because there's nothing else to talk about because it's a baseball game and nothing's happening here. Just as an aside, that's one of my favorite laughable things about watching a baseball game on television. I love it because I hate it and I love it because it's funny, because the players are just standing around, nobody's hitting the ball, nothing's happening. And the sports announcers are basically just like, they have nothing to talk about. There's just nothing going on here. So they start talking about their personal lives. Yeah, it looks like Billy's at the bat there, and he's got a good record. He's got 5 RBIs and 12 no BIs, and that's great. And tell me, Jim, how's your wife? You had a problem with your car, I understand.
Yes, Bob, as we're waiting for the next pitch, I did have a problem with my car. Apparently, the exhaust system wasn't working well. So my wife calls her sister-in-law, and they're talking about, they don't know what they're talking about. Wait, here comes another pitch. It's a ball. So anyway, they bring it down to the mechanic, Bob, and they figure out that it's not the exhaust at all. It has something to do with the oil pump. And, wait a minute. That's another ball. Okay, they go to a picnic, Bob. It's just amazingly boring. It's just amazingly boring. I find it quite humorous. So I'm lying on my back, and she's and the closer she gets to my crotch area, the more concerned I am about keeping things under control, if you know what I mean. So this hour turns into like 5 days to me. It's like, okay, when is this going to be over? I start looking at the clock, which is on a table next to the massage table there, and I keep looking at the clock, and when is this going to be over? My God, this is just going on forever. She's not making a move on me. I don't believe they're going to be happy endings here, so I don't know what now I'm supposed... What's the big crescendo? What happens? Does Enya go into a big finale recap of all her best music? What's going to happen here? And then the massage lady gets to the feet. I have been told that the most comfortable, wonderful feeling is somebody massaging your feet. And I had never had my feet massaged before. Yes, I am deprived. So this massage lady gets down to the foot area, and I'm lying on my back, and she's going toward the feet area. And in my mind, I'm going, oh boy, here come the feet. And this is going to be probably fantastic, according to what people tell me about foot massages. This is going to be big. She gets down to the foot area, and she takes her hands, and she starts massaging my foot. And I realize, not a big deal. This euphoric thing that I was looking forward to, it's all right. It's nice. It's not a big deal. So the massage is over. She says, how did you like the massage? And I said, well, it's probably the finest hour of my life. Thank you very much. Tammy, is it Tammy? I don't even remember your name. And she says, well, you can get dressed, and I'll be back in a minute, and thank you. And I said, well, thank you very much, Tammy. I'll see you in a minute. And I put my clothes on. It's one of the few times that a girl has left the room, and I've put my clothes on and felt absolutely no benefit from what just happened. The massage was not wonderful for me. It was just long and tedious and boring. So I get dressed, and I open the door. And she's standing there with a hot towel and a bottle of water. And I thought, okay, that's nice. And she says, well, she says, thank you very much. We hope we see you again. I said, thank you. And I leave the foyer area. I leave the quiet little wait for the massage area, the relaxation room. And I get up to the front desk, and the lady says, Mr. Van Damme, did you enjoy your massage today? I said, yes, it was very, very nice. I left her a little tip, and everything's wonderful. Thank you very much. She says, before you leave, if you sign up for a year, you get one massage every month, 12 massages, because that's how many months there are in a year, in case you didn't know. And I'm going to give you a discount of 15% off every single massage, and you pay by the month as you have the massages. And if you can't make a particular month, then you can have two massages the next month. But you get 12 for the year with 15% off. And I thought, you know what? I actually signed up for it. It was the worst decision I had ever made, because I went through a year of that crap for nothing whatsoever, because I thought I was getting a deal. To this day, I look back on it, and I'm not massage envy, a fine outfit. I think this would have happened with any massage service place. I'm not into it, man. It just doesn't work for me. Now, if you find a woman who is into me, so to speak, who says, Ron, I really like you. Can I touch you and massage you? Well, the answer is yes. But from a stranger who remains fully dressed, the answer is no. Thank you very much. That's my massage story. I have no idea what I was going to talk about otherwise. That's my massage story. Do you have a massage story too? You do? You listen to my entire massage story. I'm going to listen to your entire massage story too, because I think that's only fair. Okay, go on.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Thank you very much. We have a great guest coming up. We're going to be talking about distracted driving. There are so many ways to be distracted when you're driving, and it's not that. It's that you could like make a mistake, and then I'm in your accident, and I do not want to be in your accident. So let's talk about distracted driving. We know the kinds of things that distract us, and it's getting worse in my estimation, but we'll talk to the expert about that momentarily. In the meantime, I just want to, I don't like to talk politics. It's just that I need to tell you right now that if you're not following what's going on in the world and in the country, then you're not pissed off enough. Your president there, your little friend, took all our troops out of Syria, because I can't even talk about this. It's just so annoying. Ladies and gentlemen, you are witnessing the changing of the United States of America. That one demented, sick, weird individual that we put in the White House is capable of destroying everything that this country was built on and built for. It's phenomenal. The man is basically changing the entire region of the world and changing our status in the world within one short presidency. Pay attention whether you're Republican or Democrat, if you tell me, Ron, hey, what's going on in the world? You're missing some heavy bad stuff. I'm serious about that. Donald Trump thinks that in 1 month he was able to defeat ISIS. He says, I defeated ISIS when nobody else could. Don, what you just did was you opened the door for ISIS to come back. And not that they ever really left entirely. Now they're going to be back in full force. And they're going to do their terrorist little stuff all throughout Europe. And Europe's going to hate us because of it. And, you know, terrorism in this country is one plane ride away. Remember 9/11, Don? Donald Trump has unleashed, just so you know, has unleashed evil again when it was somewhat contained. And it's going to change everything someday soon. All the experts agree with me. It's consequential. The spiral downhill is not just in our country anymore. It is now the entire world, because of him, is going to spiral downhill. Ron, you're really making a lot of something. Really? Check up on the news. You'll see what I'm talking about. Okay, let's go to our guest. We're going to talk about distracted driving, as I've just distracted you from that subject. Let's talk to our guest right now.
Good morning, Ron.
Hi, Mike. How are you today?
Doing great. Yourself?
Great. Mike Sample joins us now. He's a lead driving safety expert. He does course directing and is a technical consultant at Liberty Mutual, and he builds houses, and he has a clothing line. I don't know if all that's true, but sounds good. Right. We're talking about distracted driving, which is a very big topic because it seems every day there's another distraction to add to the long list of distractions while you're driving. Some of them quite obvious, some of them quite annoying. Have you found that this is becoming more of a problem or less?
Well, Ron, I certainly recognize that our phones are becoming more and more immersive, and they're trying to draw us in, and it's a great piece of technology. But the global driving study by Liberty Mutual Insurance was trying to identify some of those distractions and some of the behaviors of all of us and how to get back to that primary task of driving.
You know, I remember with the seatbelts, where, of course, they were optional for most of our lives, and then all of a sudden they became mandatory and law across the country. And one of the reasons was that auto insurance rates were going high, and that was the reason for it, for injuries and such. Are we back to a situation where auto insurance is going to get high because we're right back where we started, where we've got a lot of claims going on?
Well, I think we recognize that insurance is just, it's a market-driven piece.
Yeah.
And truly, I think crashes are up. If you look at fatalities in the U.S. marketplace, mm-hmm. if you look at pedestrian strikes, we're seeing an increase of some of those consequences.
Yep. Yep.
Are they driven by distraction? Possibly. But it could also be the fact that our cars are getting quite advanced.
Mm-hmm.
But that phone draws people away from really keeping their eyes on the roadway around them.
Yeah.
So I think we've all been driving, and you see people at the red lights. It's almost become instinctual for some people to check the phone at the red light mm-hmm. for that latest notification or an app that's triggered you to look. And we're just trying to get the safety message out of focus on driving.
Yep.
Those texts will wait.
Yep.
We really want to identify, you know, or give these people the tips to help them on the roadway.
Yeah.
We've identified that like 90%, mm-hmm. nearly 90% of the millennials mm-hmm. admit to phone use while driving. But we're not just blaming them. 67% of all the people we surveyed across multi-generations check their phone, check their text.
Yes.
And we just want them to focus back on that driving piece again.
And those are the ones that admit it, Mike.
Yes, because, that is true.
It's like whether you support Trump or not, you know, and some of them don't even admit that. So, yeah, I get that. And that makes it even scarier, to be honest with you. Let me ask you very quickly, a little bit off the topic here. A lot of states have legalized marijuana. usage, even though it's still illegal to do that while you're driving or to be high when you're driving. Is that adding another, it's considered a distraction? Have you found that that's the case at all?
I don't know if I would really classify that as distraction. Mm-hmm. I live in Massachusetts myself.
Okay.
I mean, impairment is impairment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we really get, it's the importance of the drivers not to get behind the wheel if they're engaging in those activities.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when I was younger, my father used to read the roadmap while he was driving, and I thought, oh, my God. That was about as bad as it got back then, but nonetheless. Yeah, cell phones, a big, big problem. There's no question about it. But most technology allows us to use cell phones in the car through voice activation. So we might be getting somewhere there, but we're not there yet.
So, yeah, even if the modern vehicle allows that driver to look at it on their infotainment screen, we're really encouraging them to really focus on driving.
Yeah.
Ron, I think we know. We get a lot of texts, and how many of them are really that crucial at that moment?
Kind of none.
They're often not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just get to your end destination, then react to that notification, and look at your phone to see who you need to react to.
Okay.
If it's crucial, we encourage people to pull over safely, find that safe location, and then take that call, finish that text.
Yeah.
And then once you're done with that, really get back on the roadway and then start driving and focus on driving.
Yeah, no question.
Because we've identified just reaching for the phone in the car is enough to take your eyes off the roadway. And we all know things change around us so quickly.
Mm-hmm. I've been in situations where I see someone crossing the street from between cars, a pedestrian, and I stop and I see them cross the street. They never looked at me. They never knew that I was even coming at them. And I actually stopped. They never looked in my direction. It was like they're just as bad as I am.
So that's a great story, Ron, because I think we've all seen that. And it shows you how captivating the screen is to us.
Yes.
And that's in a walking situation.
Mm-hmm.
So think about, you know, driving, walking, anywhere. We all need to keep our heads up to be safe. And let's recognize the most important thing we do is to get home at the end of the day to be with our family.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just try to bring that up and make it a talking point. And maybe we can nudge people in the right direction to have better behaviors out there.
Yeah, we're going to have to do some large nudging in that sense. I still think that in about 10 years there's going to be a report that comes out and says, hey, guess what? Cell phones cause brain cancer. Oh, I didn't know that. I don't know. I think, who knows? Anyway, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about, actually. I just thought I'd say that. That's how much I trust these days. Where do we get more information? Obviously, what we can do about it is spread the word and not do it ourselves and recognize that is... you know, when things happen all the time that are bad, we just take it for granted. But then when you stop, like, and talk to people like you, we go, whoa, that is bad. This is really serious. So where do we go for more information?
So I thank you for that, because I think it is important that we bring this up conversationally and really hold discussions, whether it's at work or around the family dining room table.
Absolutely.
So we've offered some tips at libertymutual.com/safedriving that will help drive that conversation.
Yeah.
We'd really like people to make that better decision more often and focus on that primary task of driving.
Mm-hmm. If you're a parent and you have kids that are driving, I think our conversation just sparked something again, because that's the scariest thing of all is when someone you love is doing that and you're not even there to talk to them about it. Okay. One more time, that website, please.
LibertyMutual.com/safedriving.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Mike.
Hey, Ron, thank you today.
Take care. Well, thank you very much. Well, I'm going to be back again tomorrow. Now, whether you come back to join me or not, I can't do anything about that. I can lure you with candy, but not into it, man. Not into it. Nope. You got to come back on your own. So let's do that. Let's make an appointment. Pencil me in for tomorrow. Anytime tomorrow is fine. Actually, anytime is fine, because as you know, with this show, you can listen to everything at any time in your life. You can go back like 7 years and listen to shows right here. So, and I don't know where you're listening to the show. We're on iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, YouTube. the Podbean Network, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, and Podbay, as well as just about every other platform, including your Amazon Alexa. My God, I've infiltrated myself into your head. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Be back with you again tomorrow, and until then, I wish you peace. Yeah, I put all the coats on the bed. Yeah, go into that room over there. All the coats are on the bed. That's right. Make sure you take just your coat, please.